There is an old saying, misery loves company. Hurt people hurt people. People who are miserable, they tend to spread their misery around. Oftentimes, they spread their pain, their misery to those closest to them. When life's not going your way, when you wake up every morning depressed about the way your life's turned out, it is a lot easier to blame everyone else around you than to look in the mirror, take accountability, and change your circumstances. Your depressed state of mind, it doesn't allow you to have fun, so you don't want anyone else around you having fun either. For example, let's say we have two women. Let's say they have been friends since birth. Both come from troubled homes. Both have endured bad relationships through adulthood. They have bonded over their misery. The foundation of their friendship, their relationship, it's built on the pain they share. They both view the world through a negative lens. But all of a sudden, one of these women finally finds a good dude. For the first time in her life, she's in a positive, healthy relationship. For the first time in her life, she's happy. She is seeing the world through a new light, while her friend remains in a terrible, troubled marriage. Now, what do you think is going to happen to that friendship? Most of the time, it ain't going to last. Once you remove the foundation of misery, their bond falls apart. The miserable friend gets jealous. She begins lashing out for no reason. These new dynamics can make their friendship unsustainable. Miserable people, they tend to only associate with miserable people. Happy people, successful people, usually only associate with those similar to them. We tend to gravitate towards people that we share commonalities with. If you're a miserable person, I have some good news for you. I have a place you can go where you can find hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of people who are just as miserable as you are. All you have to do is pull up your Google machine and find your local chapter of Woke United Methodist. Last week, we talked about Dave Chappelle hosting Saturday Night Live. When this announcement was made public, it immediately triggered the identifiers on staff at SNL. Many writers, they refused to work this past weekend for a couple of reasons. One, Dave Chappelle, he makes jokes about the alphabetters. More specifically, he makes jokes about the letter T. When it was announced that Dave Chappelle was hosting SNL, they ran out of emotional support shovels in New York City. SNL writers who rushed to Home Depot were emotionally devastated when they walked through the home and garden section and couldn't find their gender-neutral support shovel. The second reason that they were triggered by Dave Chappelle, they knew that he was going to bring an allergy to SNL. Now, as you guys know, miserable shit fucks. They are allergic to the truth, but they also have a strong allergy to something else. Comedy. The last few years, SNL writers have been producing what they like to call classic woke comedy. From 11:30 to 1 a.m. on Saturday, you can hear a mouse queef inside Studio H at Rockefeller Center. It is dead silent. SNL writers, they knew Dave Chappelle would have people laughing, which would immediately trigger an emotional breakdown. While the audience is laughing, emotionally triggered writers would be crying backstage. So what did these SNL writers do? When Lorne Michaels announced that he was going through with Dave Chappelle as the host, the writers took their emotional support shovel and went back to their bridge. Lorne Michaels, he allowed Dave Chappelle to give a 15-minute monologue to open the show. For the first time in years, producers didn't have to light signs instructing the audience to laugh. The signs, they weren't necessary because they had a real comedian hosting the show. The reviews of Dave Chappelle were glowing with praise amongst people living in reality. Even Shay Shay was impressed with his performance. I couldn't believe it. Shay Shay, the birthing person offended by vanilla ice cream. For one night only, Shay Shay allowed himself to be Shannon Sharp. By Sunday morning, though, he was back to grilling the woke wiener. Normal people thought Dave Chappelle was great, but what did the rectum respecters think? The people who identify as birthing persons, they identify as garden tools. What did they think of his monologue? Headline at the Daily Beast. Dave Chappelle uses SNL monologue to echo Kanye West anti-Semitism. Headline at NPR. Dave Chappelle monologue disappoints. I am so glad to see my federal tax dollars are being put to good use. I'm glad I can rely on the mainstream media outlet that we pay for to give me an honest review of Dave Chappelle. NPR echoed the claims of mythical anti-Semitism. They also said Dave Chappelle thinks that he is above criticism, he's above backlash because he's black. Wait a minute. I thought that was the media narrative. Laura Ingraham criticizes LeBron James. She's accused of mythical racism. Rachel Nichols criticizes Maria Taylor. She loses her fucking job at ESPN. Now, all of a sudden, the media is accusing Dave Chappelle of supposedly using the black privilege that they gave him, all because he doesn't agree with their narrative. They're doing the same thing to him that they did to Kanye and Kyrie Irving. Same goes with Candace Owens, Brandon Tatum. Anytime a black person doesn't fall in line with the narrative, they become a target for media destruction. They demonize them. They do everything they can to discredit them. Now, what did Dave Chappelle say that triggered the wanker spankers? What could he have said that was so offensive it caused the media to pull out their rectum rifles? I'll let you be the judge. Now, I'm going to try and play these clips. SNL's been a bit weird lately in terms of copyright. Sometimes they approve use of their clips, sometimes they don't. Hopefully, these will be allowed to go through. I pulled the one clip that triggered the media the most. You tell me if this is offensive. Roll the film.
But when he woke up, he went on Drink Champs again. This time, he was on one. He was mad about something. He said, I can say anti-Semitic things, and Adidas can't drop me. Now what? Adidas dropped that nigga immediately. Ironically, Adidas was founded by Nazis, and they were offended. I guess the student surpassed the teacher. Big deal. He had broken the show business rules. Is this a rule? You know, the rules of perception. If they're black, then it's a gang. If they're Italian, it's a mob. But if they're Jewish, it's a coincidence and he should never speak about it.
See, we used to call this stand-up comedy. We used to call this entertainment. Today, the mainstream media, they have a new name for it. It's called anti-Semitism. The same media who for decades has been accused of anti-Semitism themselves. For decades, they have supported the Palestinians over Israel. Some in the media, they are admitted enemies of Israel. Now, all of a sudden, that same media, they want to come to the defense of mythical anti-Semitism. Not the real shit. We're talking about the made-up bullshit. Check out some of these responses from the Tootie Booties on Twitter. Oh no, it's coming fast and furious now. Dave Chappelle is trying to mainstream hate speech. The only thing I want coming fast and furious at me is a shirtless Chris Cuomo. Here's another one from some dude named Alan. Well, KC, my name is Adam. It doesn't matter what your fucking name is. This dude has Be Gentle in his Twitter bio. Be gentle. Now, this is a woke mating call. This male birthing person, he wants to be the future husband of Leah Thomas. He tries to blame Dave Chappelle for the hatred in his Twitter notifications. And look. What those people said in response to him, that is some bullshit, okay? But we can't censor comedy because other miserable people are spreading their misery to your miserable ass. While researching this story this morning, I came across some video footage of a meeting of the woke minds. Now, us normal people, when we see and discuss this monologue with our friends, we talk about the best jokes. We might retell our favorite ones. If one of our friends hasn't seen the monologues, perhaps we share it with them and watch it together. But how does a shitfuck analyze Dave Chappelle's monologue? How do they do it? In order to find out, why don't we pay a little visit to one of our favorite brigaders, the man known for his gigantic lemons, the former host of Talkin' Booty with Tutti Frutti, America's favorite fruit, the Don Lemon. Donnie organized a meeting of the rectums this morning on CNN. Listen to how they analyzed Dave Chappelle's monologue. You tell me if this is a conversation that you would have with your friends or your family. Watch for yourself.
in the English language that you should never say together in sequence. And those words are the and juice. I've never heard someone do good after they said that.
Well, that did not take long for, well, this didn't take long for the head of the Anti-Defamation League to respond, Jonathan Greenblatt, writing, "We shouldn't expect Dave Chappelle to serve as society's moral compass, but disturbing to see SNL not just normalize, but popularize anti-Semitism. Why are Jewish sensitivities denied or diminished at almost every turn? Why does our trauma trigger applause?" Quickly, the question, though, is it culturally productive? Because they're saying he's starting a conversation, but...
One needs to start a conversation about anti-Semitism. Been around for a minute. I think we all know the points of it. I think that you have to ask yourself, is he exposing some sort of cultural truth to your ear, or is he whitewashing, echoing, amplifying really toxic ideas and laundering them through his own reputation as a comedian?
Is he excusing what Kyrie and Kanye West said or did?
I almost think that's not the point. You know, he's obviously, for the jokes, it's easy for us to focus on those things, but we're reckoning broader, we're reckoning with anti-Semitism more broadly in the culture. Really, it's about, are we back to a point where it's okay to talk in this manner in every sector of public life and not expect there to be a social penalty? Because the thing he's complaining about, cancellation, which he has not experienced, right? Still on SNL, still having... selling out venues, Netflix, totally fine. The employees who complained got fired. He's fine. But the thing he's complaining about is the social penalty for saying something that people find to be inappropriate. And that is going to happen to you no matter what, as long as you're a comedian.
What the fuck are they even talking about? Don Lemon asked, "What was the point of these jokes? I don't get it. I don't understand." Ugh. The point was to make people laugh. I know for the last few years, SNL has been disguised as a butt bongo festival, but the original concept of the show was sketch comedy, stand-up comedy. Don Lemon, he then asked if this monologue was culturally productive. It wasn't supposed to be. That wasn't the point. I know the shitfucks want everything to further their narrative. Sports, comedy, entertainment. They want all of it to be used to further their narrative. But none of those things should be used for that. Not everything has to be serious. Not everything has to be about furthering a fucking cause. We are allowed to have fun. We are allowed to laugh. But these miserable shitfucks, they don't want you laughing. They don't want you having a good time. They want you as miserable as they are. Towards the end of that segment, that lady said something that I thought was interesting. She talked about this social penalty. If you say something inappropriate, you should expect backlash. You will be penalized. I am? Well, who determines what's inappropriate? Do you have the power to make that determination? Do I? Who has that power? Are we going to keep relying on miserable birthing persons on Twitter to make that determination? Because to them, everything is inappropriate. They get upset if someone uses a shovel to dig a hole instead of using it for emotional support. You know, it's funny, it's strange. I have yet to see one miserable wanker spanker display their fake outrage over Dave Chappelle's jokes about white people. Watch for yourself.
Now the midterms are over and everybody's awake. These new whites, man, they're like newborn babies. Just woke up. Everything white people are mad about, we've been on that. Man, I can't feed my family. Black people are like, we've been on that. Man, we can't trust the government. We've been on that. Man, we should dismantle the FBI. Word to Martin Luther King, bro. We've been on that.
Ooh, should I be offended? He also made jokes about poor white people being Trump supporters. Should I be offended? He also made jokes about black people. Should they be offended? Again, who determines what's offensive? Miserable people They are going to spread their misery. These people want to destroy everything that we enjoy. They relentlessly attack the NFL. For years, they have been defending SNL and their promotion of shit fuckery. As soon as they invite Dave Chappelle on to host the show, the media turns their back on it. It is not Dave Chappelle's job to consider your feelings. It's his job to make you laugh. If you don't think he's funny, there's a simple solution to your problem. Turn him off. Don't watch him. But you are no longer ruining it for the rest of us. All right, let me know what you think. Dave Chappelle gives a brilliant 15-minute monologue and gets completely shit on by the mainstream media. What did you think of his SNL appearance? Did you find him offensive, or was it just entertainment? Was it just comedy? You let me know. Sound off in the comments below. Make sure to like and subscribe. Click the notification bell to receive all notifications from the channel. Best way to contact me is by email at btlkc84@gmail.com. KC_btl84 on Twitter. I'll see you guys later.